What I think is happening is happening. It better not be.
What the hell is going on around here?
Gary Hoffman.
That sounds like somebody I know.
Shannon Farron.
She can help you with your woman problem, too. I mean, women look up to her.
For what?
Who are these people? You keep making it.
Gary and Shannon.
My advice to you, start drinking heavily.
Is there anything worse than hearing other people's opinions on abortions?
Oh, my gosh.
Agree with them, disagree with them. Is there anything worse?
I am amazed.
It's uncomfortable to talk about regardless.
Yeah. Even without there being a Supreme Court decision
right.
about it, it's not an easy thing to talk
right.
about.
Good Lord. I mean, it's like the hits keep on coming. You got the guns ripping you apart. You had the pandemic ripping you apart. Now you've got this latest decision. It was so anticlimactic when the Supreme Court decision on the praying coach came out this morning.
Right.
It was like... Okay.
Oh, phew. At least it's not going to, you know, cause... I don't know anybody who's going to protest this one.
No, I was delighted that this came out this morning so we could talk about it. I didn't really understand the whole frustration over this.
Okay, so...
There's a number of things that you can fight with each other about, obviously. We've learned that in the past 72 hours. But this one, I never really understood what the problem was. I mean, as somebody who goes to football games routinely, praying is a part of the pregame routinely and right. post-game.
But not in a school. That's where the issue comes down. We're talking about this case that came out today from the Supreme Court that a high school football coach does have the constitutional right to pray at the 50-yard line after the team's games. Now, there were arguments. First of all, the argument is that this guy, as a government employee, I mean, he's no longer the football coach. This is, you know, decided years ago that he was going to not renew his contract with Bremerton High School or a high school near Bremerton. This is his right to free speech and his right to exercise his religion, his faith, whatever. Where does that end and where does the prohibition of government endorsement of religion begin? So... That was the issue,
well,
specifically
on one side,
because he was a school employee.
On one side, it was his First Amendment right to pray, freedom
right.
of speech. And on the other side, it was, is he forcing the kids into religion at a public school? And this all started, he's an assistant coach. It started when he would just do a prayer by himself, 15, 30 seconds, something of that nature, pregame. Some students asked him if they could pray with him. He told them it's a free country, do whatever you want. So they started more and more students, players praying with him before the game. And then it became the majority of the team and then most of the team. And then it was the argument of, well, the players feel like they have to pray with him.
Yeah, and it was brought to the school's attention. Here's the genesis of this is there was an opposing coach who told the principal at Joe Kennedy's high school, "Hey, that's pretty cool. It's pretty cool that you allow Coach Kennedy to go out and pray on the 50-yard line after a football game." And then they went, "We do what?" And the school board told him, "Coach Kennedy, you're not allowed to do that. If it interferes with your duties, which it clearly didn't, or if it involved students, it did involve students, but not because he coerced them or even encouraged them. He just said, I'm going to be out there. And if you want to sit, you want to go out there with me. But that's it. He never instructed them or rewarded them for going out there or anything.
The two sides disagree about whether he complied once the school came out and the school board said, let's ixnay on the praying. Now, that's when he was not recommended to have his contract renewed. Apparently, a school official recommended Coach Kennedy's contract not be renewed for the following season. So that was kind of his argument, that he was fired over his exercising his First Amendment right. And the Supreme Court sided with the coach today that he does have a constitutional right under the umbrella of the First Amendment to pray at the 50-yard line after his team's games. 100% the right decision, especially when you're talking about kids and their bodies and their lives on the line when you're talking about a physical game like football.
Yeah.
Praying helps, you know, saying, God, watch over these kids, watch, you know, whatever, not to get into any prayers on the radio. But you know what I mean? It's part of the game. Praying is part of the game of football. It just is. When you're dealing with a violent game like that, you want a little extra protection.
Sure. It would have worked. Listen, this guy, from what I know, is a practicing Christian. So he's praying to his Christian God, right? Is it different, and would the attitudes have been different if this were some other religion
or a humanitarian
minister or somebody who wants to sage the football field before the game in some sort of a pseudo-religious ceremony to try to bring a hedge of protection against injury? All those things, I mean, it shouldn't matter. It shouldn't matter what religion, because it doesn't spell it out in the Constitution which one is good and which one is bad. It just says that the coach has the right to freely express himself and to practice the religion that he chooses. Again, the issue is whether or not he was A, encouraging kids to do it, B, rewarding them for doing that, or treating the other kids differently that didn't come out and pray.
Usually we'll see the Muslims suing because they pray something like 5 times a day during business hours, I think, something of that nature. It's a vague memory, but there were a number of lawsuits in recent years by employers not allowing people to pray, to take time away from the job to pray.
In the last 60 years, the Supreme Court has basically, as an overarching policy, rejected prayers in public schools, at least when it's officially required or it's part of a formal ceremony like a high school graduation. I don't remember there being a prayer at my high school graduation, but I do remember that they did a service at the largest Catholic church in town the day before graduation. And it was, you could go if you wanted to, and it was just a prayer for all of the seniors that were graduating, but there was never anything. There were school officials there, but it was not a requirement. It wasn't anything like that.
I've seen a lot of guys who are not Christian or overly religious praying before games.
Sure.
Okay, coming up next, we will get into Nancy Pelosi's Pushgate. Breaking news coming out of Washington right now. The House January 6th panel has called a surprise hearing. It's going to be tomorrow. They say they're going to present new evidence, but will give no other details.
It's got to be from that footage.
The documentary?
They subpoenaed for that documentary. The Nancy Pelosi thing, she has responded. She has an explanation.
Oh, excellent. I can't wait. There is a newly elected Republican congresswoman who has accused House Speaker Nancy Pelosi of pushing her little girl during a photo op when she was being sworn in last week. Now, there are a couple of political assault stories in the news this morning. This is one of them, and this is legit. The other one is Rudy Giuliani being assaulted at a market.
Oh, yeah.
He was not assaulted. A guy pats him on the back. It was not a slap.
A woman pats him on the back.
It was not Rudy Giuliani fearing for his life the way that he said it was in danger. But this one the video seems to check out that Pelosi is totally in the wrong.
So Congresswoman Mara Flores of Texas flipped that one district Republican for the first time in a very long time. And to be honest, I think she's only in the post for a few months. The guy who, Philemon Vela, who retired before the end of his term, had to be replaced in the special election. So anyway, so she gets this and she's going to be the congresswoman. She's standing there with her and her family and the Speaker of the House, and it's Congresswoman Flores, her husband, who happens to be a Border Patrol agent, and these two beautiful little girls in their white dresses looking as formal as possible and probably bored out of their mind. Nancy is standing between on one side, the congresswoman and her husband, and then the two girls. So she's in the middle. At one point, she reaches over with her right elbow and pushes the older of the two daughters. Now, Mara Flores wrote...
With her elbow.
Mara Flores wrote, "No child should be pushed to the side for a photo op, period."
Her elbow, by the way, is like in line with this little girl's neck, shoulder area. So it's a terrible look. What are you doing? And it's clear that, and we all knew this, that Nancy Pelosi only cares about herself.
Right.
Didn't care about the people. But this is evidence of that.
Nancy Pelosi spokesman Drew Hamill denied the allegation from the congresswoman, said that the speaker was actually trying to make sure that the little girl remained in the frame. which makes zero sense. And he also accused news outlets, without naming anyone specifically, of twisting the story. He said, it's sad to see news outlets that know better misrepresent the speaker's effort to ensure Congresswoman Flores' daughters would be hidden, wouldn't be hidden behind her in all of the photos of such an important moment for their family. How about this, Nancy? Take a step back.
Yes.
You're 2 feet taller than that little girl.
Right.
If you're afraid that she's going to disappear behind you and your big blue grandma butt, step back.
Yeah, put your hands on her shoulders and move her in
Joe
front
Biden.
Of you. Like Joe Biden
whisper
would.
Whisper into her little ear, it's a great day for your mommy.
And just, yes.
What an a-hole.
She just looks, she's always appeared to me to be very cold. Like the antithesis of, gonna get it in trouble here, of what a woman should be. Like she's always just seemed rigid and cold and unfeeling.
And maybe, listen. Maybe,
and that was
maybe
just, that's
Washington
not helping
does
it.
That to somebody.
And I
right?
bet it does. You have to be that way to have that kind of success. You have to be dirty like that, but you shouldn't be dirty with children. you know, I could see her elbowing a grown-up out of the photo op. Like, right. That's understandable. But this is a new level of low and cold and calculated, and I am completely myopic.
Flores, it says in one article that she's 36. I think she's only 30. But she became the first Mexican-born member of Congress when she won this special election earlier this month. She went on to say, I am so proud of my strong, beautiful daughter for not allowing this to faze her. She continued to smile and pose for the picture like a queen, which was absolutely true. And I think it's just, it's, at first when I saw it, I thought to myself, that's weird. Maybe it's like an optical illusion. Like maybe her elbow moves.
No, I watched it like 8 times.
And the girl happens to move at the same time. And I know she's the Speaker of the House. She's the third most powerful person in Washington, D.C. I understand why she's there. I understand it's an historic day. But she's not the one who needs to be in the front row. It's Myra Flores and her
family. And hasn't she had enough time in the front row? Hasn't
well.
She had enough photo ops in the past 75 years?
She read a poem on Friday in response to the Roe v. Wade decision, the Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Healthcare. Mm-hmm. And it got a similar reaction to what Kamala Harris got. Like, what do you do? You should be outraged, what people said.
If you
should
were
be
a
outraged.
Female, especially Democratic representative of the administration or of any government, your PR people should have put you outside the Supreme Court with the crowd of women.
Yeah,
you should have been like
AOC showed up,
the girl
there.
From Full House, right?
Like, Jody Sweetin.
You know what I mean? That's where Pelosi and Kamala Harris should have been. And
right.
Everybody knows that.
Yeah. But it's funny that they can't wrap their heads around that type of activism or that image that they're so far above what it is that their people think they should be doing.
Right.
It's an odd mentality.
And you know, you put that with the women who fought for Roe v. Wade 50 years ago. You know, you put them with the Gloria Steinems of the world, and
right.
they just look like weak stream. Like
yeah.
they're not. There's no muscle behind the words that they're saying.
That like the fourth generation feminist. I don't know what generation we're on now, but that the fourth generation feminist tweets things instead
right.
of actually
totally.
Having some sort of activist
totally.
Bone in their body.
All right, coming up next, the Gas International desk. I love it when bulls fight back.
Yeah, that was weird. That's a weird... I mean, the other one is... They're all internationally weird stories. We go to our international desk for a couple of strange stories. One of them out of South Africa. The death toll at a nightclub is at least 21. I saw 22. We could go up because there are other kids that are in the hospital. But many of these dead teenagers are thought to have been students that were celebrating the end of their high school exams on Saturday night.
So this was in South Africa, I believe, in a place called East London. And As of now, no cause of the deaths can be established. Police said they were called to the nightclub about 4 a.m. local time Sunday. They received a report that there were lifeless bodies there. So officers respond to the call and they walk in on what turned out to be a very grim scene, as you can imagine. 17 teenagers were found dead on the spot. Two more died at a local clinic. One died on the way to the hospital, one at the hospital, and their ages between 13 and 17.
Now, drinking is permitted if you're over 18 in these taverns, these township taverns, commonly known as shebeens. And they're not like you would, you know, walk downtown and find a bar next to a restaurant and a clothing store or anything. These are within the township. They're all, you know, right next to homes and in some cases actually in the homes. They'll block it off and make part of it into this nightclub.
The bodies of many of the victims were discovered by police lying on tables, slumped over chairs, sprawled on the floor of the club. Officials have obviously, when you think about that evidence, ruled out a stampede as a possible cause. And it looks like the only remaining possibility is poisoning of some kind, whether it be bad alcohol or, you know, who knows, fentanyl, something like that.
They said that empty bottles of alcohol, wigs, a happy birthday sash were found on the street outside this two-story tavern that everybody was found in.
Crowds of people, as you can imagine, including parents whose kids didn't come home, all gathered outside that tavern today, as you can imagine.
Well, and then this story out of Bogota, Colombia, several tiers of stands in an improvised bullring collapsed yesterday.
Four people dead, hundreds injured, but they said that those figures will both go up, that there were terrified spectators trapped in the rubble.
The footage of this collapse went viral. You can actually see a bunch of people playing with a wounded bull, and I don't know if this was karma or however it works, but they're playing with a wounded bull during a popular event known as Coraleja. Suddenly, the stands give way. Hundreds of people are trapped underneath. And as people scream, some of them jumping out of their seats, trying to help out, trying to move the wood and the other debris to the sides to get to the people who are underneath it.
Hector Ortiz is 64. He says a woman next to him shouted, "That balcony is about to fall down." And they watched in horror as eight sections began to cave in one after another like dominoes. He said after the first balcony collapsed, it pulled the next one and so on and so on. It was the gate the bulls go through that stopped the collapse. Otherwise, we would be talking about a much bigger tragedy.
50 volunteers from their civil defense area working to transfer the most seriously wounded of the hundreds of injured spectators from the bullring into the one hospital that's there. They said that there were the deaths included a 14-month-old baby.
Well, bamboo, which is what this bullring was built from, is usually pretty strong. It's also pretty unstable. And they believe that organizers should have foreseen that this could be a possibility. 14-month-old baby among the dead.
Yeah, part of this is that this was an illegal bull,
right?
Bullfight or show, or I don't know what you call it, bullfighting show, bullfighters,
bullfight. Yeah.
Period. That's what we call it. Just bullfight.
Yeah.
Okay.
I like it when the bulls fight back because I don't think that they really enjoy the conditions. It's just violent as hell.
Well, and that fun little game of Coraleja where you just tease and harass and poke the
bull. What the hell do you think's going to happen? It's like going
wounded
to Yellowstone and trying to take a selfie with a bison. You know, some of it's just Darwinism. I like the running of the bulls when people are gored in their genitals. What do you think's going to happen?
What did you expect? That's one way to put it, yes. Alec Baldwin has made some interesting career choices in the last 24 hours.
He needs to sit down, doesn't he? After the whole, you know, shooting the woman on the set.
I am amazed that he believes that this is the right path.
Yeah, and even if you were to stand up and raise your hand and say, "Remember me," this is what you're going to stand up and wave to people with?
Right.
This is terrible. Because I don't think that the public is divided. They're divided on most of things. But this is one of those things where I think we can kind of all agree that Woody Allen is not our Lord and Savior.
Right.
Woody Allen is a bad dude. Woody Allen abused his adopted daughter when she was a child. I don't know many people who are standing up other than Roman Polanski and saying, hey, but he's a really talented guy.
Nice Polanski pull. Alec Baldwin says he's going to interview Woody Allen.
Well, where we last left Alec Baldwin, he was vigorously defending himself against the people who said that he had a role in what happened on the set when that cinematographer was shot and killed. I mean, obviously he had a role, but was he negligent? And there is legal action working its way through the system. He needed, it seemed, a little reputation rehab. And so what has he done? Well, he is going to interview his friend, Woody Allen, tomorrow.
So Alec Baldwin took to Instagram this morning to make this big announcement.
It's the 28th.
I'm not sure why.
This coming Tuesday. The 28th.
I don't know why he's doing...
It's the 28th, I think. But this coming Tuesday, I'm going to be doing an Instagram Live at 10:30 Eastern Time. 10:30 Eastern Time with...
And then he holds up the book, a Woody Allen book, and he flips it over, and you can see Woody Allen on the backside. He's standing in front of a library, just sort of the back picture of, the book jacket.
Tuesday, the 28th, 10:30 Eastern Time. I'm going to be doing an Instagram Live.
I already said that.
Woody Allen.
Why you whispered it?
I love you, Woody.
Is he Instagram on something?
Woody.
Yeah.
Tuesday, 10:30. Be there.
Be there.
You know what I love. I love you, Woody.
That is crazy. Why would you die on that hill? If you love Woody Allen and you stand behind his sexual abuse of his adopted daughter, you do that in a closet. You do that in private.
Yeah, you do that over a private dinner somewhere in the Hamptons without broadcasting it. He wrote on his Instagram account also, let me preface this by stating that I have zero interest in anyone's judgments and sanctimonious posts here. I am obviously someone who has my own set of beliefs and could not care less about anyone else's speculation. If you believe that a trial should be conducted by the way of an HBO documentary, that's your issue. Now, the documentary that he's talking about was Allen v. Farrell, HBO show that had some never-before-seen home video of then-7-year-old Dylan Farrow talking about the alleged assault shortly after she claims that it occurred. During the Me Too movement, there was another one, A Rainy Day in New York, dropped by Amazon Studios, Hatchet Book Group refused to publish his memoir. Allen has denied the allegations, right, and called them untrue. He has said they're disgraceful in a statement following the release of the docuseries. But how do you, if you're Alec Baldwin, think, remember, it was less than, a year ago when this happened.
There are some who say you're never supposed to point a gun at anyone on a set, no matter what.
Unless the person is the cinematographer who's directing me where to point the gun for her camera angle. That's exactly what happened.
It was October of last year when that happened. It was October when he killed a woman. Whether he did it intentionally, obviously that's not, no one's accusing him of doing it intentionally. But the idea now that this is somehow the way that he's going to start rehabbing his career just doesn't make a lot of sense.
It just shows again, it's another example of tone-deaf celebrities.
Yeah.
People that just have their head in their hand in the sand, or they surround themselves in an echo chamber of you're so wonderful, everything you do is right, you can do no wrong, you have no accountability or responsibility, all of it.
Do you know the actor James Gammon?
That sounds familiar.
Okay, he's been in everything, but James Gammon played the manager in the movie Major League, and... damn it, Dorn. That guy.
Love him, yes.
Okay. So.
I love Alec him. Baldwin, don't tell me anything bad about him.
Well, he's been dead for 12 years.
Oh. That was news.
But
thanks for breaking it so nicely.
But he is now a spitting image. Alec Baldwin, I should say, is a spitting image of James Gammon. And I don't know if, like, listen, I'm sure he's had a rough year, this Alec Baldwin character. And I'm sure that that takes a lot out of you, dealing with what he's had to deal with. And to deal
like
with
killing a woman?
Well, there's that. But also the wife that he's with.
Oh, right? She's a lot.
Excuse me. Excuse me. Remember when they caught up to Alec and his wife, the paparazzi were just annoying them. And she was holding her phone like a like my mother-in-law would, trying to record. I'm going to record you.
Yeah.
I'm going to shove it right back at you. And he had to keep shooing her out of the way.
Your mother-in-law listened to the program ever?
Something I don't know.
Okay. Why? Just something to think about. You know, I know I was just talking about Alec Baldwin being in a echo chamber of you're doing things right, everything's wonderful that you do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to protect you.
Thank you.
But his whole quote about I have zero interest in anyone's judgments. It's like, what about the little children that were groomed into a sexual relationship with an adult and are irreparably harmed because of it? What about their judgments?
Yeah, that's what I mean, to me, it's almost like I don't him saying in this, you know, this comment on Instagram, I don't care what happened to you.
Right. It's
even
only
though,
about what I think.
It's only I think he's a brilliant director and needs to be celebrated for that, regardless of the lives that he's blown apart through his abuse. It doesn't make any sense.
Excuse me.
Excuse me.
And it makes no sense.
Excuse me.
How was traveling this weekend?
It's bad, man. People have no manners. Manners are gone. It's not just in the airplanes now where people are too loud or think it's okay that their baby threw up on you or they're rude to flight attendants. It's in the terminals, and it's getting worse because summer travel is going to be a real beast.
Yeah, this
I mean,
next
when I traveled last weekend up to Oakland, they said that that was the busiest Friday since Thanksgiving of last year. I traveled again this weekend to Denver, and it was similar. Everything's super impacted. There's too many people, and you couple that with all of the airline dysfunction and the staffing shortages and the weather problems throughout the country, and you get crowds of angry people that don't care. It seems like they don't care about anyone but themselves.
753 flights have been canceled today.
Let me give you for example real quick on the people only care about themselves. They have one of those people movers at Denver International, and it
takes the flat escalator.
No. These are the trains that take you from the terminals to the ground transportation, whether it be rental cars or Uber, what have you. And they come every 2 minutes, these trains. So you miss the train. There's going to be another one there in 2 minutes. Two minutes.
It doesn't seem like very long.
We get onto the train. And there's a guy who runs on. And then as the doors are closing, blocks the door with his luggage and waits for his wife, maybe another minute and a half, to come on. And the doors are trying to close and close, and he's just blocking it and blocking and blocking it. And she gets on, and she's like, you're so rude. And I was like, yes, ma'am. Yes, he is rude. Because she knew she could have, where she was in the bathroom or something, whatever. She knew there was going
to
be another.
She said that to her own husband?
She did. Because he just seemed like a total a-hole. I mean, you block the doors to the train like that so many times, he's lucky that security wasn't called, and they can shut the whole thing down, and then everyone's delayed. Like, it was just that typical, like, selfish behavior that's not typical, but you're seeing it more and more ever since people were let out of their homes.
Yeah. I was talking to a friend of mine last night.
Pilot?
Happens to be a pilot. And he was describing from his side of seeing all of this go on and what the airlines themselves have to deal with. We see it. You know, the majority of us are passengers. We're not involved in the airline industry. So we get the frustrated, you know, we get frustrated at whatever's going wrong. But they're the ones, and he was saying it's like it's worse for a pilot because he's the guy who's got to say it.
Yeah.
He's the guy who's got to tell everybody, hey, I'm really sorry, but our crew rest window closed and I can't legally fly this airplane today.
And here's the other thing. The hygiene levels are not where they need to be for public consumption.
We've just I feel like the last 2 years.
It's Pajamaville. It's pajama. I'm not asking you to put on a three-piece suit to take a flight to Denver, but at least take a shower.
Well, not from the South. Here in the Southwest, Mm-hmm. Maybe showers are just optional now because of water conditions.
Coming up next, L.A. County squatter George Gascon, who's holed up there in the DA's office, says that he knows how to keep communities safe. I do not think those words mean what you think they mean.
Well,
do that when we come back.
Gary and Shannon will continue right after this.